This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I have a guest live in studio today, which you know is a rare treat. So I'm really excited. And I've known her for a very, very long time. And so, wow. I think we could talk for like 6 hours, but we only have this 1 hour and we're going to try to stay focused and on point. Let me tell you who she is. Elizabeth McGrath, MSW, is an internationally recognized somatic sex therapist, sexuality coach and educator, and professor of human sexuality and the social sciences. For the past 12 years, she has worked with hundreds of individuals and couples, guiding them as they learn to value their own pleasure, lead exhilarating sex lives, and have fulfilling, embodied relationships with themselves and others. She lives in the San Francisco Bay Area, where she explores her passions for dance, chicken strips, and doing way too many things at once. You can check her out at McGrathSexTherapy.com and, you know, like spy on her as we're talking. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Elizabeth.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
It's been a few minutes since I've seen you.
It has. It's really nice to see your face.
Oh my God. It's nice to see your face too. So the occasion of this, mm-hmm. the occasion of doing this is that you wrote your first book.
I did.
And it's called The Couples Kama Sutra, The mm-hmm. Guide to Deepening Your Intimacy with Incredible Sex. So I want to start at the top with why the Kama Sutra, and add to that, is there any controversy? Have you gotten any feedback? The first thing I thought when I saw the Kama Sutra was, oh my God, it's white people co-opting other cultures, mm-hmm. which is like our favorite thing to do.
Yes.
not my favorite thing to do, but you know what I mean? Like in general.
Yeah.
It's white supremacy's favorite thing to do.
It is. To go around and co-opt fun and awesome things from other cultures and yeah. say, we want to talk about this. And this is something that we can, you know, espouse on in some way. So in answer to the first question, the impetus for the book came from the publisher that I worked with, and a big sort of the flux of the book being written around the Kama Sutra was really about what people search for. So I think especially in the Western world, I'll keep it to the US and say that specifically, I think when couples are maybe in a lull in their sex life or a place where they think of sort of like, let's spice it up, the Kama Sutra seems to be something that really is very top of mind. And I write about that a little bit in the book. And I think that that's because it has been co-opted, but so far back, right? Starting in the 1960s, mm-hmm. where it was used in sort of a very hippie kind of commune way mm-hmm. to say this is something that people can utilize as tools for their own sex life. And it just became more and more culturally pervasive. And as more people knew about it and purchased it, it became synonymous with let's try new positions, let's try something that sort of pushes our bodies or, you know, makes this new again. So the publisher, you know, very much had their finger on that and said, you know, people search for this, they think of this, this is synonymous with excitement around sexuality. We want to utilize that for the writing. Now, when they contacted me, I happened to actually be in India at the time.
How ironic.
Very ironic. And at that time, I thought, okay, is this just timely? Were they stalking me? Did they know about that? It turns out that it was a little bit of both. They knew that I was there from social media and sort of looking me up, but also knew that I had a pretty extensive yoga background and some experience with, you know, learning Sanskrit and basics of yoga, which we could go into whiteness and yoga very easily as well, and said, you know, you're there. Are you interested at all in researching this specifically? Because we are really interested in there being some amount of cultural awareness around this and sharing the origins of the Kama Sutra, people having the knowledge about what it really is. Because, and I think to break it down to its finest points, it's about so much more than sex positions.
Than sex, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And again, it's what we've kind of taken as this is what this is and westernized it. But it's really, I mean, it's a series of texts that are about life and how to live life and how to live a sensual and embodied and very connected life in a completely different time. So they asked for some amount of research and then said, we would like to combine that with your sex therapy practices, with your sex education background, with what you know. Are you interested in doing that? So very selfishly, I saw an opportunity there to get all of the other content into a book that people would look for because they were looking for something exciting to do on a Friday date night. Like, let's put our legs behind our head and try that, right?
Right, left.
So I definitely, you know, capitalized on that opportunity without, not without knowing that there would be controversy, but feeling like there may be a chance there to possibly change what people know about the Kama Sutra and again, get other information into their lives.
Yeah.
I very thankfully have not received a ton of blowback from it, but I was very much expecting it and felt like it would have made sense, right? Mm-hmm. As I feel like this question makes sense and people's questions about it. But I haven't really gotten any, you know, you're white. Why are you doing that? This doesn't make sense. What is it? But I do feel like that's sort of out there in general. And if you look on Amazon and various other booksellers, a lot of the Kama Sutra books that have been written or translated are primarily by Caucasian people. Mm-hmm. You know, there are not a lot of people with any kind of cultural associations in their background really writing these books for Western audiences.
Right.
So I think that there's definitely still a question about how we choose to co-opt things, mm-hmm. especially sexual things, especially without kind of giving credit to the background and origins of the content that we're using.
Which is very clear, I mean, from the start of the book that mm-hmm. you're very thoughtful about saying, about probably explaining things about the Kama Sutra that most people don't know, right? Because there is kind of this stereotype, which is just
a lot of
positions and weird illustrations.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
And so you go into that in like really thoughtfully and kind of let people know what this was and also why it even makes sense to sort of return to it. Mm-hmm. Because even though it's a really modern, contemporary book on sexuality, in my mind, there is something interesting about structuring it around something very, very old.
Yeah, and I think that that comes up with other, I guess I'll say, sort of modalities of what we think about as historical sex or sort of ancient sex practices. I feel like Tantra is another one that people reference all the time. And I guess my hope about it would be that we stay in awareness of not saying this belongs to us or we're the experts on this, but this is a tool to bring into your life and utilize in various ways and go back and find all of the things from different cultures and backgrounds that may work for you, right? Take a class on Tantra, read more about the Kama Sutra, look at, you know, how different things were used in different cultures and say, is that interesting to me? And how can I be respectful of that? But also say, this is interesting now as it was then. Mm-hmm. There are pieces of that that are interesting and I can, you know, use in my own sex life.
So I want to start with a concept that you talk about at the beginning of the book, which is this concept of polarity or difference and how that plays a role in the sexual dynamic between partners.
So the concept of polarity, and I explain this specifically in the book, is this idea that when two people meet, they recognize one another as different people. You know, you are you, I am me, we are brand new to each other. And in that first stage, it's really about recognizing difference and finding commonality, but also the tension and excitement that is created by the other, right? By that difference. And that tension is really built around risk and sort of an energetic mystery. I don't know if I can trust you yet. I don't know exactly how you relate to me. I don't know what our shared future might look like. All these things are question marks. So for most humans, it imbues this sense of the chase, right? I need to work for it. I need to be my best self. I need to try. I need to offer things. I need to learn about you and connect to you. There's a lot of energetic sort of back and forth and connection there. And as we move through and closer with people and our partners over time, what happens is that we move more into a pattern of you are me and I am you. And that happens through, you know, shared domestic life, having kids, reinforcing shared family and social structures. And it's a wonderful thing that is necessary for survival, right? We have to trust people. We have to be in family units and groups. We have to feel like we can procreate. We cannot, as humans, most people live in a state of sort of questioning and unsafety forever. So it's natural that we get to know each other more and more and become closer. But again, what that reinforces is through our shared patterns and habits and lives, we start to feel less like, hey, you're this whole other person, and more, we're the same. Right, we have the same life, we share the same interests. Yes, you have another body, but this life we have is ours rather than yours and mine.
And this is very reminiscent of Esther Perel's work in Mating in Captivity, which is an amazing book. If you haven't read it,
go run out and get it.
But she talks about, you know, she uses a different language for it, but she's getting at the same idea, which is that as we get more familiar with someone, that is when the sexual tension.
Yes.
And we call it sexual tension for a reason, dissipates.
Yeah, starts to wane at that point.
Because there's more merging and there's more intimacy, which we all want.
Yeah.
We want more intimacy. But the better I know you, the less I want to fuck you.
Exactly.
Is the way that I sort of describe
it. That's a very good encapsulation of what it is.
Right.
But I think that, again, that comes from a lot of the trust that's developed, which is this sort of time we reach with each other, which is that, you know, we can fight and we won't break up. We can go a month without sex and we won't break up. We can go through traumas and stress and bad days at our job and you're going to still be there for me. We live together. We've created this life. It's a necessity, again, around the family unit. It's not a fundamentally bad thing. But when there isn't that risk and there isn't that possibility that lacking motivation will have an impact, we don't feel so much of a necessity to attempt to connect with our partners, feel excited by them, sort of look at them in that way of, oh, you're interesting and exciting. I'm curious about you. One of the ways, and I hear this with clients pretty frequently, they'll have these moments where, say, for instance, they'll be at a work party with their partner or they'll come visit their partner at work. And for a moment in that different environment, they'll see their partner as the boss or a coworker or somebody else. And they'll go home that night and have great fucking sex, right? And it's because there was that moment of, oh, this is you. This part of your life kind of has nothing to do with me. This is you in your power, in your element. You know, I work with clients often to try to create those moments with each other and actually have that. I think that's part of why around sort of therapy and sex education, you hear a lot about date night.
Yes.
A lot of that is really creating and manifesting opportunities to feel separate from your partner. And again, this isn't for 100% of people. There are quite a few people who thrive in connection, you know, who thrive in having that tension go away and not having any questions and feeling really safe with their partners, and they don't feel sexually open without that. They don't thrive in risk.
Right.
But I think for a good portion of, you know, modern society, that switch away from mystery represents at least a time of challenge in a relationship. Like, who are we to each other now? What is our sex life going to look like? Are we having the same sex every night? You know, what do we want to do about this? And that's where I think people start to Google things and look for stuff and try things and think, okay, something new will bring us that newness that was what we had with each other that we liked so much.
Okay, we got to take a break and hear some commercials because they pay the bills.
Thank goodness.
But coming up, we are going to talk more about this really incredible book and Elizabeth's practice, and we're going to And maybe we're even going to tell you about some positions, which I know on radio is hard to do, but I like a challenge. So stay with us.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Hey, everyone, it's Tristan. Listen. There is nothing sexier than experience. Just ask the Pleasure Chest. As the oldest sex-positive boutique in America, this legendary establishment has made it their mission to provide sexual fulfillment to everyone, regardless of orientation, identity, or experience. With stores in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, as well as online, the Pleasure Chest wants to help you have the best sex of your life. Whether you're buying your first vibrator or your 10th leather flogger, you'll be assisted by a knowledgeable and friendly staff in an elegant, sex-positive environment. If you're looking to expand your sexual expertise, they offer free weekly workshops in locations nationwide where no subject is taboo or off limits. Visit pleasurechest.com to learn more, because sex never goes out of style. You can use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free Pleasure Chest lube with every purchase.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I am live in the studio with Elizabeth McGrath, and we're talking about her new book on the Kama Sutra. Before the break, we talked about this concept of polarity or difference. You wanted to give a shout out to the person who whose
therapeutic idea it is. Yes. Yeah, his name is David Dida, and he came up with this. He writes about it pretty extensively online. And it was something I experienced as a practitioner and in my practice, and so really went looking for any information I could find about how people have really talked about this, researched it, and wanted to make sure that it was mentioned in the book. So he is quoted and referenced in the book as well.
Something you talk a lot about is this concept of embodiment. Mm-hmm. And I want to read one of my favorite quotes from the book. Okay. My clients will often describe the best sex they've ever had along the lines of, quote, it just felt so good. I wasn't overthinking it. We were just connected. It was so passionate. This is what people mean when they talk about, quote, incredible sex. The big difference between their best sexual experiences and ones that felt more frustrating is how much time they spent in their mind versus their body.
100%. Yes.
So tell me about embodiment and why, what it is and why it's important.
The basics of embodiment are based on the fact that we are born into these incredible bodies, really built for pleasure and to experience the world. And as we grow and get older, we are socialized to think about all of our physical experiences. So how we look, how we act, what's okay, how we interact with other people. But at our basic core, the foundation of our lived experience is all the sensations that we have in our body. I would like to break it down for clients around two sets of sensations. One, what we feel inside our bodies. So our breath in our lungs, being hungry, various different things we feel, you know, in our organs inside, when our heart starts racing, when we feel excited, and then our outside sensations. So what we can feel with our fingertips, the palms of our hands, on our skin, all the things outside of us, the temperature, etc. And embodiment is really about, as you quoted, how much we're able to feel those things rather than what I call our mental tapes or the chatter of our minds, right? Don't do that. Do that. You should do this. You shouldn't do that. What's this person thinking about you? What are you thinking about them? How is this going? How are you feeling today? Right? Our minds are very, very adept at taking us away from all that physical experience and very adept at making us question that physical experience and question the real fundamental truth of our bodies. I believe that our bodies know first and know most correctly what we want, what we need, and when we want and need it. But again, there's a lot of socialization and the experience of talking ourselves away from that. Mm. When it comes to sex, unfortunately, that is where the breakdown is for most people. And that is where a lot of our shame is, a lot of our guilt, a lot of the disconnection that we feel with our partners, and looking for the other person, how to do it right, how to be right, how to perform it correctly, how to feel good for ourselves. And that can go on and on and on indefinitely. And so it's much more a cerebral experience than it is a physical experience. And all the juicy, really delicious, yummy stuff of sex, that's all in our bodies. None of that is really in our minds, other than our minds saying, yeah, great. I agree with that too. Keep doing that. Yeah, that feels good, right?
No, that totally resonates with me because I feel like if you ask me like what is the best sex or your best sexual experiences, I would say it's these times when you're lost in the experience. Mm-hmm. Where you have no idea how much time has passed. Mm-hmm. You actually don't even care what time it is. Mm-hmm. Right?
Totally,
like,
yeah.
You're not
that
even...
That has no relevance.
That has no relevance. Like when you last ate has no relevance. Like when you last peed, nothing.
Yeah.
You're just completely immersed mm-hmm. and fully present in that experience.
Yep.
And there's literally nothing else.
And the best part about that I think people don't really realize is that it's not only this experience of being in your own body, it's the experience of getting all of the energy from the other person, taking that in, and then that impacting you and you handing that back. Mm-hmm. And it's this completely circular experience of sharing that for whatever time period where it's larger than even just you. Because there's a whole other person and everything that's going on for them. And it's so much different than, oh, I did that right, or I got that person off. It's they were there with me and I was there with them and we just did that. And it was wonderful.
Yeah.
And whether there was an orgasm, whether it was perfect, whether everyone got off, the presence is the thing that I think our bodies remember and the thing that we maybe spend a lot of time chasing afterwards.
Mm, yeah, absolutely.
And wanting more of, for sure.
So there's a big section on communication in the book, and obviously as a sex educator, I know that that's crucial.
Definitely.
But one of the things you do that I think is really helpful and would be helpful to listeners is you actually give people examples mm-hmm. about how to talk about yes. sex, right? Because that's the other thing is I feel like we say this thing all the time. Communicate with your partner. Tell them what you want. Tell them what you like. Tell them
but
how it
like,
feels.
What do I actually?
Right. Like, where do I even begin? Mm-hmm. Forget dirty talk. Like, where do I even just begin about saying?
Like, what words are okay and what words are sexy? And again, we overthink it. We think, okay, but if I have to use words, what are the right words? And what are going to get me what I want and not make me look silly or weird or anything? And so trying to find the right words, again, I think takes us away from the reason we even want to say them and what we're trying to communicate and what is really there and authentic for us. And
but you give these kind of little scripts, little sentences and little ideas about, and little prompts mm-hmm. about like, you know, like fill in the blank. Here's mm-hmm. Here's a prompt, which I think is really... It's like a real tool, a real practical tool for people.
Yeah. And tell people to, you know, read through them and look in the mirror and let the words come out of their mouth. And as the words are coming out of their mouth, again, feel in their bodies. Does that feel like me? Am I turned on by that? Does that feel authentic to me? Does that feel like, oh, that's not, oh, those words feel foreign to me. I would never say that.
Right.
Because there's so many ways to communicate. But the only, I think, answer people need about what to say is, does it feel good to you? And does it feel like you?
Okay, and give me an example of one of the prompts.
So I talk a lot about the language of want, and I think that that's a thing that is missing for a lot of people. Again, when we look more for how to do something right, we skip right over what we want. And so often for another partner, all they really want to hear is like, I want your body. I want you to be naked. I want to be naked. I want this, right? To be in that, feel in that, and just let those words tumble out of our mouth. What that's often felt like on the other side is that genuine energetic experience. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I feel your want. I like that. When we communicate wanting somebody, they feel wanted.
Yeah.
That's great. That's what I think most people want is to be wanted.
Right.
So really all of the prompts are about not overcomplicating it. The prompts are about, what do you keep thinking about? What is this sort of like raw primal nugget that you're feeling in your body? Don't find the right way to say it. Just blah, blah, blah. Just let it come out of your mouth. So try that. You know, I want you to do this. I've been thinking about this. I can't get this out of my mind. I had this fantasy last night. Would you like to try? I would like to try. Just kind of the thing that comes up, really just letting that come out and starting with that as a baseline.
Which is so important, yet so difficult for so many people.
Totally.
Because we live with all this shame and mm-hmm. negativity and all this guilt. So it's like the minute the feeling comes up, the I want comes up, the voice comes over and says, like, that's fucked up, or that's perverted, or that's weird, okay, or that's not the way normal people have sex.
Or the person's not going to want that, or they're going to reject you, or they're going to think you're crazy or strange. And that's the fear. And that fear is pretty much a wall between our inner self and our voice and actually letting those words come out to another person.
Yeah.
It's all of the, like, this isn't going to go well. But the thing I do with people and coaching them through that is to say, that untapped want, that uncommunicated want, gets bigger and bigger and harder to communicate. It doesn't get easier to communicate.
Yeah.
So the fear of rejection is very real, but where there can be some awareness of, here's what I'm afraid of right now, it can still be tapped into, this is what I want and I'm going to give it a try. And it's not so simple that if you have a partner that doesn't want the same thing, then that's a problem, or it's over. But when you share of your want, that's the way forward. Mm-hmm. That's vulnerability. That's how you move forward into, we can do this, we can't do this. I can get this need met, I can't. But without communicating it, you'll never know. And it becomes this kind of complicated energetic thing that just grows bigger and bigger and bigger.
Well, and I think the more you squash something, the more you repress it.
Definitely.
It also becomes bigger than maybe it was to begin with.
Definitely.
And it becomes, you know, it becomes like this sort of issue, which is like, I know I want this thing and I know I can't tell my partner. And then it becomes kind of like a monster.
Mm-hmm. And it starts to poke out in other places, right? It starts to come out in feeling like perfectly fine sexual experiences are then unfulfilling, or my partner doesn't really understand me, or I don't feel met by this person. Or I think even more insidiously, my partner can't hold this. They can't handle this. My partner isn't about this. We start to shift the perspective we have on another person and think they're not even capable of this. So why should I say it?
That's always a tricky thing for me. You know, like one of the letters that I get, like the classic Tristan email I get is from straight cis men who want to get fucked in the ass by their female partners.
Love that.
And so instead of like a technique or a tip question, they're like, how do I get my wife / girlfriend / person to do this to me?
Yeah.
Or to
even
do this
be
with
on
me.
Board with it. Yeah.
Right. And it's always tricky to sort of figure out, is the fear warranted? Like, do you actually know your sexual partner and you know that they're
conservative?
Have
you been shamed by them? Have they said,
right.
This
have
is
they
gross.
Made a comment?
You don't
have
do
they,
it. Yeah.
Is it a projection? Are you actually like freaking out, but you haven't actually put it out there and they've never actually said anything about
this. Do you have associations with what this might mean and you're really getting stuck there around that?
Right. So it's like, it's a complicated thing to sort of untangle. There's no, you know, I've always said, like, why can't I like create a dating app just for people who want to be pegged?
Right.
So there you go. Free idea, people. That's what we're, that's what we're giving out here.
Jump on that.
March 3rd. Okay. We're going to take another break. When we come back, more about that and a lot more in just a minute. So stay with us.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Hey, everyone. It's Tristan. Listen. There is nothing sexier than experience. Just ask the Pleasure Chest. As the oldest sex-positive boutique in America, this legendary establishment has made it their mission to provide sexual fulfillment to everyone, regardless of orientation, identity, or experience. With stores in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, as well as online, the Pleasure Chest wants to help you have the best sex of your life. Whether you're buying your first vibrator or your 10th leather flogger, you'll be assisted by a knowledgeable and friendly staff in an elegant, sex-positive environment. If you're looking to expand your sexual expertise, they offer free weekly workshops in locations nationwide where no subject is taboo or off-limits. Visit PleasureChest.com to learn more, because sex never goes out of style. You can use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free Pleasure Chest lube with every purchase.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I want to remind you that my fabulous sponsor, The Pleasure Chest, wants to help you have the best sex of your life. Visit their boutiques in New York, LA, and Chicago, and enjoy their free, that's free, weekly workshops offered in their Pleasure Ed program. Experience sex ed in a fun, non-judgmental, and supportive environment. Whether you're improving your oral sex skills or learning the proper way to wield a whip, the Pleasure Ed program has classes for all levels, experiences, orientations, and interests. Not only will you get some new skills and new ideas to take home, but while you're there, if you attend a class, you get 15% off your purchase that day. You can visit pleasurechest.com for the class schedule, and I will tell you what's coming up in about a week, a little less than a week. So on March 8th, and this is March 8th everywhere, Chicago has Butt Basics with Antoinette Elizabeth, LA has Impact Play with Michelle, and New York City has Anal Pleasure for Him with Ryan and Brandon B. So all of those are happening March 8th. They're all free. Go to pleasurechest.com. If you don't live in one of those cities, you can shop online. And if you use the coupon code Tristan, you get a free gift with every purchase. We are talking today with Elizabeth McGrath about her book, which is about the Kama Sutra, and a lot more, just so you guys know, a lot more. Why is spontaneity crucial, and how do we cultivate it in our relationships, in our sex lives?
I feel like spontaneity is crucial for a few reasons. Sexually and in our relationships, spontaneity is important because it really connects to that sense of sort of newness and a bit of an edge that I feel like really is necessary in long-term relationships, even in small ways. Spontaneity says, I'm feeling this now, I'm excited about this, I'm excited about you. This is something that's really just organic and happening naturally. It's happening to me in my body, and I want to show it to you and share it with you. Scheduled sex says, okay, we're both going to arrive here and we're going to make it happen. And this is when we have it in our schedule and we're both agreeing to it, and it can feel very maintenance. Mm-hmm. Both things are really necessary. I see so many clients that are, you know, we have a kid, we have two kids, we have stressful jobs, we work 9 to 5, we're freaking exhausted. Mm-hmm. What are we supposed to do about this? And we talk a lot about how to look at their lives not as needing the perfect sexual moment, but having the opportunities for sexual communication and connection in any moment, right? So I think one of the things that's the first to go for people is, okay, it has to be sex. It has to be penetration. Mm. It has to be start to finish. It has to have all these elements, because that's what sex is, period.
Right.
And for me, and the way I really try to connect sort of the sexual intimacy idea for people, is that sex is always, it's, I want you, I find you attractive, I'm thinking about you, I'm thinking about sex, I feel this, I'm going to grab your butt, I'm going to put my arms around you and I'm going to caress you, I'm going to give you eye contact across the room for 30 seconds, I'm going to wink at you, I'm going to let you know that this is something that is a part of my life. It doesn't have to be a full sexual experience for it to be great and felt. So something like spontaneity is really connected to that possibility of any moment.
Mm.
And looking at that. And also people moving away from judging how successful a sexual experience is, if everyone's having an orgasm, if everybody, you know, gets to really get all of their perfect buttons pushed.
Right.
It's less about, you know, the perfection and creation of the moment, and more about sort of doing it and trying it. And so part of how we cultivate that, I think, is just moving away from some of the sort of existing ideas we have about what sex is and how it operates.
You know, I'll tell you that for years as a sex educator, I was like, it's not about the orgasm. It's not about the orgasm. But in my own life, oh, it was about the fucking orgasm. Yeah. And it wasn't until I got into my 40s, and now I'm in my mid-40s, where orgasm is like much more elusive than it was in my 20s and 30s, that I've actually experienced really deeply satisfying sex without an orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like real. I'm not like fooling myself. I'm not like, oh, but I wish.
Yeah.
It's like, as long as I can let go of the frustration, I can totally enjoy myself. And also know, because I know my own body, that part is not happening for me tonight.
Yeah. And I think that again, when it becomes about the orgasm, it narrows the focus. Mm-hmm. Because for most people, there are only a handful of ways to orgasm, right? And those are specific to how we get turned on, what feels good for our bodies, how relaxed we are, what we're thinking about. The fact that we don't have our own habits and routines around our orgasm, there's nothing wrong with that. But if the only thing that makes a sexual experience successful is coming, then you're only going to be able to have a handful of kind of sex to feel like you've done it well and right and everybody's gotten off and had a good time.
Right.
And that to me is just a bit of a bummer in all of the other things that it takes away and sacrifices. And oftentimes, again, that looks like, okay, well, I know my partner loves me and I know that they're attracted to me and we have like, I get off, he gets off, everybody's doing that, but it feels like something is missing. And the thing that so often is missing is just that, yeah, I'm into you. I like you. I'm attracted to your body. I want to touch you. You want to touch me. That may or may not have something to do with orgasm, but it's really necessary for two people to feel like they want to be there with each other.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So not skipping orgasm completely at all.
No,
but
no
not
one
privileging
wants,
that.
No one wants to skip orgasm.
Yeah, no. And not privileging that as the only thing.
Right.
And I think for a lot of people, bringing in ideas of how you can get yourself off,
mm-hmm.
right? How you can share in that experience, okay, we're focusing on something else right now, we're trying something else, and I'm going to pleasure myself, or we're going to go in and out. I mean, I can't tell you the number of times I've talked to people where, you know, the male orgasm is the thing that really dictates the start and finish of the sexual
and
situation.
For heteronormative relationships, that can be also a thing.
For sure. And
absolutely.
So, you know, if a guy has already come and the woman hasn't, then that just sort of stops. And so where things like foreplay and touching and caressing can be before he's even a part of the equation around penetration, can happen afterwards, where mm-hmm. things can kind of continue. And that's really just where, again, we narrow our minds from sex and connection being about the possibilities to being about specificity.
Okay, my favorite, absolute favorite part of this book. You know, it's hard to reinvent the shit, okay, people? It's hard to, like, you know, get new ideas out there. It's hard to shock me or surprise me. It's like I've read every sex book there is, right? You have grouped the positions in this book by energy. Okay, so mm-hmm. tell me what the energies are and why you decided to do it that way.
So there's racy positions, athletic positions, intimate positions.
Playful.
Mm-hmm. Playful is a really good one too.
Mm-hmm. Powers one. Powerful positions.
Mm-hmm. And those are positions that explore more of a power play, power mm-hmm. exchange and dynamic there. And the choice to group them that way was really based on this book being about more than just here's a place to put your body and put your partner's body and that's going to feel new and different.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that is going to feel new and different about this is how you approach it, why you're doing it, what you want to have happen from it, and connecting to those things before you even get naked and put your bodies anywhere. So how are you feeling tonight, right? How are you feeling on this Sunday morning when you have an extra hour because the kids are sleeping in, right? Are you feeling cozy with each other? Is one of you feeling in a silly mood, right? Is it sort of like, okay, we've been going to the gym a lot lately and I'm really like got to get my yayas out right now.
Yeah.
And when each person can have a chance to kind of feel into that, then there can be some amount of negotiation and connection around what you try and why. And the positions are all very interchangeable, but I like to think that people can approach them with a little bit more satisfaction when it's, okay, what do we really want to feel rather than where do we want to put our foot and our elbow?
Right, or which position is from behind and which position is on top and which position, you know
exactly.
what I mean? That's usually how, like, every position book I've ever read, including ones I've written, are grouped that way. So I just loved that idea. What do you want this experience to be like?
Mm-hmm.
And then using the position to sort of get there
mm-hmm.
versus starting with the position for all these sort of like, you know, technical reasons. Like
yeah.
you want an eye contact. You want to be able to reach your clit.
Totally.
You want to blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Like we've seen all that. We've
mm-hmm.
done all that.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about my favorite positions, shall we?
Great. Yes, I'd love to hear these.
No, what I really want you to do is I want you to describe some positions, and
mm-hmm.
this is challenging without
yeah.
video.
Yeah.
Like to tell people like some of the positions in the book.
Yep.
So I just, you know, I went through and I just thought, oh yeah, yeah, no, I like that one. I like that one. I like that one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The first one is kneeling missionary.
So kneeling missionary comes from this feeling. So missionary is by far the most popular sex position.
Yes.
I think it gets a really bad rap as being super vanilla and really boring. There's all these words associated with it.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is the reason why we do it and why so many people do it and why it's awesome is your full body connection, right? Faces are close by. You can hear each other's breath. You have your partner's entire body. Mm-hmm. And I hear from so many people, you know, I like their weight. I like sort of that like closeness that we feel. It's a great position for penetration for a lot of people. It works with different heights, right? There's a lot of great stuff going on with it. So I'm very pro-missionary. Kneeling missionary just moves the body sort of in and out of that actual physical touching and connection to create a little bit more depth of penetration and actually give more things like eye contact, right?
So describe it. Tell me what the giver's doing. Tell me what the receiver's doing.
So the receiver is lying down and the giver is functionally kneeling and has the receiver's hips and body up a little bit more and then is leaning a bit more forward. So it can be, you know, down on arms, can be up really, you know, looking at their partner. It allows for a bit more depth of penetration and sort of a bit more of that like energetic in and out rather than full on complete body contact or complete like kind of lying on top of one another. Mm-hmm. And just wanted again there to be a variation because I want there to be positions that people feel like are accessible and not so like, okay, no, you're on the floor and I'm on the ceiling and here's the things.
I can get into those positions, but my back does not want to be in those positions.
Yeah.
So it's like there's a whole bunch of like standing positions that I'm just like, this is great for someone else. Mm-hmm. This is not me.
This is not what I want to be doing.
No. Okay. We have to take another break. How did that happen? That was fast. We got to one.
We like to talk.
I'm sorry. We got to one position. Yeah. The book is like has 41 positions.
It does. So, yeah, there's a lot of them.
And we've gotten to one. I'm sorry, people. We're going to get to another one. At least one more. I'm only going to promise you one more and maybe some more about the book when we come back. So catch us after the break.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Hey, everyone. It's Tristan. Listen. There is nothing sexier than experience. Just ask the Pleasure Chest. As the oldest sex-positive boutique in America, this legendary establishment has made it their mission to provide sexual fulfillment to everyone, regardless of orientation, identity, or experience. With stores in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, as well as online, the Pleasure Chest wants to help you have the best sex of your life. Whether you're buying your first vibrator or your 10th leather flogger, you'll be assisted by a knowledgeable and friendly staff in an elegant, sex-positive environment. If you're looking to expand your sexual expertise, they offer free weekly workshops in locations nationwide where no subject is taboo or off-limits. Visit PleasureChest.com to learn more, because sex never goes out of style. You can use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free Pleasure Chest lube with every purchase.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Have you heard about Explore More Summit? It's a 10-day virtual summit featuring intimate interviews with experts from around the world on all things sex, relationships, communication, and self-love. All of the talks will air for free on a designated day, and they're really phenomenal. The lineup this year is actually mind-blowing. I'm really proud of you, Dawn Sarah. You you knocked it out of the park. And I happen to be one of the experts. And in my interview, I'm talking about things I haven't talked about yet in public. So that should be fun for you, maybe. If you register for the summit before March 8th, which is coming up, you get a free mini workbook emailed to you each morning during the summit with all kinds of prompts and questions so that you can like fully engage the material and have this book in front of you to engage with. Sign up at exploremoresummit.com. Okay, so I'm talking to Elizabeth McGrath, and we're talking about her book, The Couples Kama Sutra, The Guide to Deepening Your Intimacy with Incredible Sex. I'm going over some of the positions. The illustrations in this book are also really cool. Mm-hmm. I really like them. Yeah. Okay, so let's describe for folks the full frontal.
Full frontal is a really, it's a great one. It is, I mean, the name sort of implies how it looks, but the giver, and so to be clear in the book, and this is a question I've received a lot, why giver and receiver? Not only did I want this book to be accessible to all people, all bodies, but I think that there are a lot of ideas that we have about penetrating partner, top partner, bottom partner, and I want people to be able to feel like they can really play with that energy themselves and not have that dictated to them, you know, that the person with a penis is the giver and the person with the vagina is the receiver. So just kind of keeping that in mind as I talk about it. So the giver, whomever that is on the bottom and would be sitting up with their hands behind them, sort of gently propping them up or against a headboard with pillows. Not super relaxed and leaned back, but can be propped up a little bit. Legs out and extended. And then the receiving partner kind of tucks in, would bring their pelvis up to their partner.
Sort of then, sitting on their lap.
Sort of sitting
them.
On their lap. Yeah. The same thing, lean back, propped up on their hands. And then they take their legs and put them on top of their partner's shoulders. So it's really very closely pelvis to pelvis. Mm. And how close that can be is based on the flexibility of both people, right. Obviously. For the receiving partner, the further they lean back, the more they'll be able to get their legs up. Some people are very foldy and can be quite close to their knees and legs, but other people may want to lean back or may want to try that and then lie all the way down and have their legs over their partner's shoulders. But the giving partner has a lot of control over grabbing hips, thrusting, moving in and out, and the receiving partner can also sort of utilize their hands behind them to push into their partner. It's really connective. It's super close. There's a lot of great stuff to look at, and there's really great chances for eye contact and for watching each other and being visually turned on.
Okay, so you already teased this idea that there's a whole section on racy positions. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
Tell us a racy position.
Well, so racy positions were really written from the impetus of not only an audience that's looking for the sort of more super sexy kind of things, but really to bring in positions that people may have seen in adult movies, you know, may have seen in other Kama Sutra books that come across as more impossible, right? So I feel like especially for women, there's a lot of porn watching that's like, I'm not that bendy. This doesn't look comfortable. Why is she doing that? You know, and one of the positions that comes up a lot is this position where the receiving partner is off the edge of a bed or off the edge of a chair and has their shoulders and neck down on the ground and then their legs up and either out or behind them with their feet over. And, you know, sometimes like referred to as plow or various different things in how it's been talked about in various other books. But what is really great about it as a position is that power play, that exchange, depth of penetration that can happen. Again, all the visual elements, so one partner being higher, another partner being lower. And I felt really strongly about adding those positions, not only to sort of demystify the stuff that people see in porn, but also to put it in a context that seems accessible so people know they can try these things. And yes, it may be like, that doesn't feel great for me, or that's not my favorite, or I can stay in that for 5 minutes and then, dear God, can we both lie on the floor?
Yeah, yeah.
But again, trying it is that experimentation that feels new, that's exciting, that's energetically, you know, different. Even if you spend the entire time giggling and thinking, okay, how do I get that in there, and where, what is this? Am I doing this
and
right?
And someone may get kicked in the head.
Yeah, and someone may get kicked in the head, someone may somersault backwards, you know, the dog may be super freaked out by what you're doing. Whatever it is, just that there is that two of you in that trying it giving it a shot. And for whatever happens, that's the experience, not how successful it is or, again, how someone comes or doesn't come, but that you're trying something that feels a little bit beyond you, maybe a little bit impossible. And you realize that whether or not physically it's your favorite thing, so much more is possible than you thought.
Right, right. Okay, and then you include my favorite position. Mm. You call it something else. Mm-hmm. You call it full press. Mm-hmm. I call it tailgate.
Okay.
And I really coined that term.
I really like that term.
Like, it's been called many things, but yeah. I'm the one who invented that position being tailgate.
I love that.
Let's describe the position.
So full front or full press is really like the most body contact that you can have. And, you know, completely all parts of the body touching. It's a really deep penetration position.
So wait, let's describe it. So, so the giver, the receiver is on their stomach.
They are.
Flat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. On their belly, fully laid out. Legs can be a little bit open or they can be completely closed. And then the giver is on top, basically.
But like can start out sort of in a kneeling or start out in some way where you can get easy insertion, but then eventually lays flat on them, also on their stomach.
Exactly, completely lies down.
Yeah.
So it's basically stomach to back.
Yes.
And how exactly that looks from body to body is really, again, based on how much penetration you want, the angles, various different things that you're working with. But it's really the awesomeness of it as a position is the sensation of being, you know, for the person on the bottom being held down, completely covered, and for the person on top really getting the full body contact of their partner underneath them.
Yeah.
I've said this in the book a lot. I actually, when I was writing it, started to crack myself up. I'm a really big fan of butts. pretty notoriously large fan of butts.
So we, you know, we share that.
Yes,
obviously.
Definitely. I'm a butt man. So in creating these positions, I remark all the time about how this is a great position for butts.
Right? Yeah.
So the person on top, there's just so much butt going on there.
There's so much butt
and
to
around the penetration.
Well, I was just saying, because there could be vaginal penetration or anal penetration in that position.
Any kind of penetration you want. Also, it's a really great one for thigh rubbing, right? So for penetrating in between like closed thighs,
yes.
Rubbing against a thigh, you know, touching oneself while touching your partner's butt, right? If you're into feet, you can possibly get, you know, face close to feet and be touching. There's a lot of great stuff going on.
Yeah.
And then the partner underneath has so much of the action around their butt. So if they feel great about that, there's a lot of pressure, you know, really great sensation.
So good.
It's a super fun position. So
okay, well, a book on positions would never be complete, and a show about positions would not be complete if we did not tackle one of the most controversial issues in the entire community of lesbians, gay women, dykes, and women who have sex with women. So you know where I'm going with this.
Yes, I do. I'm so excited.
Scissoring.
So controversial always.
Okay, so first describe the bodies and what scissoring is, and then we'll discuss, you know,
some of the controversy.
The different camps on this.
Yeah. So scissoring, and the reason why it's called that is literally, if you think about a pair of scissors, there are two legs, and then you connect them at the joint.
At the V, the bottom of the V.
Exactly.
At the bottom of the V is the V.
It is the V.
Is the vulva. You know,
yes, exactly.
Vulva to vulva.
On a body with a vulva, it is vulva to vulva, basically. Yeah. And how scissoring can happen is can be a lot of different ways that it looks, but generally, I think the easiest way is either two bodies on their back with one leg on top, the other leg underneath, really bringing in that way, or each person on their side, either facing the same direction or facing opposite directions.
So let me tell people the context for why scissoring is so controversial.
Yes.
So you see scissoring a lot in quote lesbian, but really girl porn, mainstream porn depictions of women having sex with women. They're made primarily by men.
I think that scissoring is how all lesbians have sex.
Right. And so there's this like repetition of the scissoring as if like all lesbians get down with scissoring or all roads eventually lead to scissoring. And And so then there's a whole camp of queer people who say scissoring is not a thing. It's a porn trope that they invented and it visually looks really interesting. But like, I don't get off that way. That's not my jam. Like, that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But then there've been another camp of people. I think Tina Horn is one of them mm-hmm. for some reason who like she wrote like is. An article, like a treatise, like mm-hmm. in defense of scissoring.
Yeah. Why scissoring is awesome.
I remember that. Yeah. And that was amazing. Yeah. So then there are other women who sleep with women who have said, wait, no, I love scissoring. Scissoring is a real thing. Mm-hmm. You do see it in porn and maybe you see it too much, but
for sure.
Okay. So what, obviously you believe in scissoring.
I believe in, I mean, yes, the short answer is a yes, but I believe in two bodies having the possibility of fun and experience and non-judgment to try all the various combinations of how they can rub their parts on each other. Right? Hand parts, vulva parts, body parts, right? Like, let's try every single combination of how our parts can touch. Let's do that.
Yeah.
So to that end, scissoring is one of those ways. And, you know, vulvas have a lot of awesome stuff going on and clitorises are awesome. Mm-hmm. And if you can put one on another one and move them around, why not try that? Right? That seems like a great time to me. And also too, you know, capacity for penetration that I think in, you know, knocking down scissoring, we miss the possibility that that allows for double penetration at the same time, which can be a super fun thing. It also can allow for an amount of closeness where both partners can finger each other, can rub each other's clits or vulvas.
Or maybe it's just grinding. And listen.
Maybe it's just grinding.
Grinding will get you there. Grinding will get you there. Let's not.
And women, you know, people with vulvas, regardless of identity, so many people from a young age learn to masturbate by grinding.
Absolutely.
Right? By rubbing on things.
I'm rubbing on things.
So any positions where body parts are grinding on each other, whether there's penetration or not, can just feel really great. So I would say you don't have to scissor. If you're a lesbian and you've never scissored, that is totally okay. No need to do that. But if it's something you're curious about, why not? If it's something you love, feel great about that. No need to have shame about scissoring, whether you're lesbian identified or not.
You heard it here first, people. And that's a perfect way to end, really.
I love that.
Elizabeth, for being on the show.
This was so wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Elizabeth McGrath is the author of The Couples Kama Sutra, The Guide to Deepening Your Intimacy with Incredible Sex. It really is a great book, you guys, and I highly recommend it. Find out more at McGrathSexTherapy.com. Follow her on Facebook and Instagram at McGrathSexTherapy. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Matt, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, when I'm going to have a surprise guest. I'm not ready to tell you who it is yet, but that person's going to be fabulous. That's all you need to know. So you should come right back here. And we've also got some great new things coming up with Pleasure Chest. They're going to do a little sponsored segment where that is going to be fun and educational and also ridiculous. So stay tuned for that, okay? I love me some Pleasure Chest. Until then, you can catch me on Twitter and on Instagram at Tristan Taramino, the show on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio, me on Facebook/AskTristan. And it's just, wow, what a way to start my weekend. Just finally putting this scissor thing to rest with Elizabeth McGrath. That was epic.
I'm honored that I could help.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.